Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves postcast. My name is Ben Beacon. I am the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm joined again today by Chilenga Langison of the CND NBA podcast and zone coverage in the Twin Cities. How's it going, Chilenga?
Oh, it's going good. You know, I was a little disappointed to see that like all of Chicago's starters were resting today, but I figured that would mean we would get a look at some of the young prospects on the Wolves, and that did not disappoint.
Correct. Yeah, we're gonna take a quick look at Wolves Bulls from Sunday. Of course, we know that the results of the game did not matter. Both teams locked into play in and playoffs this week, and of course, no Karl-Anthony Towns, no D'Angelo Russell for the Timberwolves. So there was there's a limited amount we could take away from this, but it ended up being a really fun game. What could have been a blowout, the Timberwolves were down by as many as 28, but made this a one possession game down the stretch. I guess overall, Chilenga, what's your number one takeaway for whatever that's worth, for what this game was? What can you take out of it?
Well, it's like, you know, the starters came in the game off the jump and it just seemed like they weren't really there. You know what I mean? Like the game didn't matter to anyone except maybe Pat Bev, of course. But as soon as Chris Finch just made the decision to pull the plug on the starters and just ride with the deep bench, that's when the game really turned around, because it basically became deep bench versus deep bench. And then those were players who were playing for something. You know, they're trying to prove that they, you know, deserve a spot in the playoffs or next season or, you know, whatever each player is fighting for.
Yeah, exactly. And early, this was not competitive. The Timberwolves were down 12 at the end of the first quarter. They were down 22, I think, at halftime.
Yeah.
And right. Or 23 at halftime. And it really just kind of felt like they were completely melted in. Patrick Beverley, as you referenced, got ejected just before halftime. And the Timberwolves opened the second half with essentially bench players. I think it was all bench players to start the second half, as there was no Anthony Edwards, who did start, no Malik Beasley, no Jaden McDaniels in the second half. Jared Vanderbilt. Those guys all sat out the entire second half. So we got a bunch of bench minutes, and those guys competed. They played hard. The urgency that was completely not there before halftime was entirely there. It started early in the third quarter. By the end of the third quarter, we got to see a heavy dose of Greg Monroe, who, of course, made his first, I guess, reappearance with the Timberwolves. We got to see a lot of Jake Layman. Leandro Balmaro, of course, was maybe the most exciting. And then late in the game, for me, it was a lot of, honestly, Balmaro is probably the biggest. Balmaro and Nate Knight are the two that are the biggest takeaway for me from this one. What they were able to do late. I mean, early this season, Balmaro was briefly in the rotation back in, I think it was like around Thanksgiving, like late November. And he had a couple of nice games, mostly effective defensively, but just never looked comfortable on offense. And in this game, he looked like he was playing in the G League. Like he was comfortable. He was confident. And outside of a bad defensive possession late when the Wolves cut it to a point and he just got completely blown by on the defensive end of the floor, which is weird that was where he struggled. Offensively, he looked comfortable and confident. No idea what that means moving forward. Of course, he won't be in the rotation in the playoffs, but maybe that helps him go into next season with some confidence. And maybe the Wolves feel a little bit better about him and what he did his rookie year as well.
Yeah. You know, Bomaro's been sort of he's been tough this year because like I was really excited early on in the season when he got time in the rotation and even started a game or two. I wanted to see what he could do and the defense is there, and you know, he's got a little bit of ball skills. He can shoot the rock a little bit. And so there's like this diversity of skills where you can really see like, oh, this dude, like if he can put it all together, he's going to be like a real solid NBA player for a long time. But it was pretty clear from the jump that he's not quite there. I don't know if it's a speed of the game thing or if it's just like, you know, I think about it as like the connecting fibers, like taking this skill and this skill and this skill and putting them together into like a cohesive game. It just wasn't quite there. But tonight it was great to see. You know, it looks like there's good chemistry between him and Nate Knight. Mm-hmm. They attacked on the pick and roll quite a bit, which was nice. I look forward to watching him develop through the years, because I think there's a real good player in there. And he's got a lot of untapped potential.
Agreed. And speaking of Nate Knight, 17 and 8 plus 3 assists in just 16 minutes for Nate Knight. We saw this earlier this year when he was pressed into starting duty, really, when the Timberwolves had like 8 guys out due to COVID late December, early January. He had a couple of really good games. The game against Boston comes to mind when Greg Monroe also had a good game right after Christmas, end of December. Knight was fantastic in this game. He had a poster dunk late in the game. Just looked really comfortable, actually initiated some offense, brought the ball up the court a few times. It was a ton of fun to watch him play. And who knows, you know, being on a two-way deal this year, if he's around next year or not, but he played playoff minutes for the Atlanta Hawks last year. I mean, is a rotation big in this league? It'll be intriguing to see if he is on the team next year.
Yeah, you know, I was watching the Bulls stream on my laptop today, and it was actually like the Bulls announcers were like, they got themselves a player in Nate Knight. They better hold on to him, otherwise someone's going to come get him. And, you know, I feel good about, you know, how the Wolves have kept Nate Knight on, and we've seen some flashes from him, and he really could be a good option at backup center, backup four some for us next year. Can really quick before we move on from this game, can we just talk about the Pat Bev ejection a little bit more? That is like Pat Bev's energy just distilled into like a perfect little package in a meaningless game, a literally meaningless game. He gets one tee because he was right and he hit the ball off Patrick Williams and he was upset about it. And then he flexes on the ref, starts yelling, "You're trash, you're trash, you're trash." And he's out of there. I mean, what did you think of that?
I mean, like you said, it's vintage Patrick Beverly. It's just how competitive he is and how he can't, I mean, his immediate reaction is he just like can't control it. And but then so often he's able to back off of it quick enough and just be like, all right, you know, and we've all seen the rapport he has with so many of the officials in the league, and he knows what he's doing, right? Even when he's in street clothes on the bench, when he's resting, you know, throughout the season for a variety of bumps and bruises, he's always working the refs from the bench because he's trying to build these relationships that he can come back to later. And he's such an aggressive player that he needs that. But in this, it's like he just snapped. He knew it didn't matter. He knew he was right, especially after seeing the replay and being proven right, that he just could not drop it. And the flex was hilarious too, because it didn't even look on the replay like he was even talking to the ref. He just knew he was flexing right in front of him. And of course, I'm blanking on which official it was now, but he's not an official with a great reputation, I don't think. And he just couldn't take it. And that was it. And hopefully Beverly just gets the fine for not immediately leaving the court. I don't think guys usually get suspended for that, but that made me a little nervous when he decided, you know what, I'm going to come back for a little bit more. But I mean, it was classic Patrick Beverly.
Oh yeah, absolutely classic. I also hope that it's just a fine, you know, and we'll have Pat Bev ready to go on Tuesday.
Agreed. All right, real quickly, speaking of Tuesday, just a really quick note on Tuesday. I mean, the Wolves Clippers this year, they played four times. Three of them were very early this season. Those three games, Paul George played in them. So did Karl Anthony Towns, but D'Angelo Russell missed two of the three. So there's actually only one game. Oh, and I should say the fourth game, which the Wolves did win, there was no Paul George, but also no Karl Anthony Towns, no Ivica Zubac. A bunch of guys have been seen for both teams, and the Wolves won that game easily. So we really only have one of those four games where both teams were basically full strength. The Wolves with Cat and D'Lo, the Clippers with Paul George and most of the rest of their lineup. So it's a really weird series to kind of handicap and figure out what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. Any thoughts from you, Chalenga, on like sitting here now, what we might see Tuesday? Obviously very different teams than what we saw the last time the two squads matched up.
Well, I mean, the Clippers at their peak are a really, really good three-point shooting team. And we've seen with the Wolves is that their really aggressive defense can leave some wide open three-point shots. And if teams can knock those down, things can get ugly really quick. The one concern I have is like leaving three-point shooters open, which has been a habit, is ultimately going to lead to like the Wolves' downfall, especially because it's just one game and it's hard to make adjustments in just one game to really like, you know, game the Clippers and try to figure out how to, you know, change the Wolves' fortunes.
Yeah, and I'll talk about this more this week on Lockdown Wolves. Going to have a crossover episode with Chuck Mockler of Lockdown Clippers posting Tuesday. But I mean, the quickness of the Clippers guards, Paul George, and of course, Reggie Jackson gave the Timberwolves all sorts of trouble earlier this year. That to me is a concern. Point of attack defense for the Wolves has been much better this year than years past, Patrick Beverly being a huge reason for that. But even an improved D'Angelo Russell, you know, hopefully a locked in Anthony Edwards on the ball will help a lot too. He's been pretty good on the ball this year. That to me is the scariest thing. All right. Any final thoughts from you, Chalenga, on this game or the play on Tuesday?
Well, I also just want to comment on, you know, the Clippers put Nick Batum on Karl Anthony Towns as the primary defender and then would bring help over, bring another forward over. And so just that long, like lengthy, rangy forwards guarding Karl Anthony Towns have given him fits in the past. And so that's something to look like. How is Carl going to beat that? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be on him to figure out when to pass, when to be aggressive, when to go quick. You know, when can he beat the double? It's they're going to throw a lot of different looks at him. And it's going to be interesting and important to see how he handles that.
Yeah. And we saw a lot of teams put fours on Towns this season, and that was started. That trend started. The Clippers were one of the first teams to do it early this season. Back, real early in the season. Towns has a much better feel now, I think, than he did then for what to do and decision making, and you know, when do I force the issue? Like you said, when do I pass? When do I defer? When do I just shoot the three? I think the last, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10 weeks, his feel for that has been much better, and hopefully that remains the case Tuesday. And I guess not quite a do or die, but close to a do or die game, a win and end game, close, I guess you could say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody wants to be playing the Spurs or the Pelicans on Friday. So, all right, that's all we have on the postcast. Of course, Locked On Wolves this week, we'll be covering all week. We'll also have a postcast Tuesday following Wolves Clippers, win or lose. We will have a postcast for you live. And that's all we have for today. For Chalenga, I'm Ben Beeke with Locked On Wolves, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.